Welcome to the Innovators Room, where we talk about real things, real facts, and being the real you. I'm so excited to be back. Let's get this show started.
And that is the power of hope. The belief that something better is always possible if you're willing to work for it and fight for it. It is our fundamental belief in the power of hope that has allowed us to rise above the voices of doubt and division, of anger and fear that we have faced in our own lives and in the life of this country. Our hope that if we work hard enough and believe in ourselves, then we can be whatever we dream, regardless of the limitations that others may place on us. The hope that when people see us for who we truly are, maybe, just maybe, they too will be inspired.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Innovators Room. I'm so happy that you guys decided to listen again. I know that I be sporadic with these podcasts, but your girl trying to get it together during the quarantine. You know, I'm trying to do better with myself. And today I have a very special guest with me. I have Taylor Hunter with me. Hey, Taylor.
Hey, how are you doing today, love?
I'm doing so well, especially since you're here with me. I'm so excited for us to finally get the chance to talk. I want to know more about your big move and all that you have going on. So could you really like just tell us, for those who don't know, who you are, how you got into photography, and just being a creative?
Yes, absolutely. So I'm really excited to share it. So hi, everyone. Once again, my name is Taylor Hunter. I'm a lifestyle photographer and I'm based in Atlanta, Georgia, but I'm originally from a small town in Louisiana called Marksville. And I spent about 5 or 6 years in Baton Rouge before I moved here. And photography is really just such a special part of my life. I really love capturing themes that are relative to wellness, that are relative to self-love, expression, and also self-discovery, and womanhood, especially. Women are like my driving force when it comes to my work. And I really just love being able to capture the essence of people. So who are you authentically? You know, who are you on the inside? I really like to try to make that radiate through my photography. And a little bit about how I got started with photography. Let's see. Let me think back. So growing up, I'm an only child, so I always had to find ways to entertain myself. You know, my parents worked a lot growing up, and they always were like, yeah, go find you something to do, you know? So I was always very drawn to drawing and painting and just doing DIY arts and crafts and things. So I always loved the arts growing up. It was just something that I remember saying, like, when I grow up, I want to be a fashion designer, or I want to be a painter, or this or that. It was just always something that I just felt like was just ingrained inside of me, you know? And maybe around like middle school, my parents started gifting me digital cameras. So point and shoot, your little Kodaks. And I would just take pictures of all kind of random things that I would see. You know, we lived in the country too, so it was just like trees and flowers and nature. And I just always had a camera. And then my senior year of high school, I really wanted an upgrade. So I asked my parents if they would give me a DSLR, a camera, Canon camera. And they were like, what are you going to do with that expensive camera? Like, what are you going to do with that? And I was like, you know, I really want to capture really special moments during my senior year, like homecoming and prom and, you know, student council events. So I talked them into it and they gifted me the camera. And then maybe around the time graduation was approaching, one of my best friends, she asked me if I could photograph her senior portraits. And I said, well, you know, I don't really know what I'm doing. She said, well, you got that fancy camera. Could you at least try? So lo and behold, you know, we did the session. I tried it out. And then I had another friend, my cousin, actually, she was like, hey, can you take my pictures too? And I was like, yeah, sure. And then moving on after that, maybe like another classmate of mine, she was like, hey, my brother really hates taking pictures, but he needs to see your pictures. So I'll pay you if you want to take his pictures. So I was like, Okay, well, I'll try. And honestly, it's been, you know, that's literally been it ever since. I've had a camera in my hand ever since that moment, and it just has kind of grown with me. And that's kind of how my journey into a photographer really began. And I'm really just happy that I got that camera.
Right. I think it's so crazy how we sometimes just fall into stuff, kind of. It's kind of like, you know, when we think about like our childhood and things like that, we don't think about like the things that we actually like to do.
Right.
Would be some of the things that we'll actually be doing when we become adults. And so even speaking with that, I know you said that you're the only child and things like that. What has been the most difficult aspect of adulthood for you, especially since you relocated, you quit your job at one point? What has been that, I would say, most difficult thing that you've had to navigate through?
That's good. I'd say it's kind of me really understanding and fine tuning my purpose. You know, I think with like the world we live in and with social media, there's a lot of ways that you can just fall into this image of what a photographer is supposed to look like or what a creative is supposed to look like. For me, it's been really trying to like get super quiet and look within myself to fulfill what is Taylor S. Hunter's purpose. Like, not Jane Doe the photographer, not John Doe this photographer, not this artist, not this creator. How do I want to fulfill this passion of mine? And how do I want that to come out and to be expressed? So it's definitely me, you know, trying to like find that alignment. And I get really quiet with myself. I'm writing a lot more, and I'm realizing that with my purpose, I'm realizing that it can be spread through multiple mediums. So right. I can create in other ways that rather than just photography. I can create through writing. I can create through storytelling. I create through painting and drawing. So it's me kind of encompassing all of those things and like fueling my purpose with that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. I think for me, I find it very difficult to like find one thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's like something that a lot of people deal with, is like, okay, I'm good at this, I'm good at that, I'm good at this. But like, I really had to sit with myself and be like, you know what, you can be good at a lot of things. You don't have to label yourself as one thing. And I think like with social media and things like that, we feel like we have to just be a content creator. We have to be just a photographer, you know, but I don't think a lot of people notice that they can be a lot of things. Like, you can enjoy just simply being a creative. So I'm so happy that you mentioned that, and just also like getting to know yourself and sitting with yourself. And I know you mentioned earlier how you like to do lifestyle photography.
Mm-hmm.
How do you help people, even when you're taking pictures of them, to feel comfortable with themselves?
Mm-hmm. So for me, it's mostly just like a conversation, you know, and it's just asking them questions like, you know, how are you feeling? Like, people, you know, a lot of us are going through things or we're experiencing so many things, and no one's just really asking you like, how do you feel today? You know, how are you? You know, how do you want to be seen? You know, what is the purpose behind these images? What's your background? What's your story? So I really try to get to know my clients on a deeper, more individual level. And it's also really, really, really important for me to make them feel comfortable. So like, it's just kind of like creating that rapport with someone as if like, I'm a friend, you know, I'm a sister. So like, when I'm shooting with a woman, I want her to feel like she knows me and that she can be her for her true self without any judgment, you know, because I think that's the biggest thing. We're always afraid like, oh, how am I going to look, or how's she going to judge this, or how's she going to feel about this? And I really want people to see me as a mirror with my camera. Like, my camera is a tool, and I'm a mirror here just to present and to reflect back to you exactly who you are through these images.
Yeah, that's good. And I like that you mentioned fear, because I wanted to ask you, what made you just be like, hey, you know, I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to move to another state? Mm-hmm. How has that been? What really caused you to do that? And how have you adjusted to the new environment and culture?
This is a good question. So to be completely transparent, it was just a lot of built up pain, a lot of built up frustrations and pain that I had allowed myself to receive, just because in the past, you know, I just had been such a giver. like to everyone else and to everything that I did, I gave 100% to every relationship, to every job, to everything that I touched my hand on. I just gave so much. And then I looked in the mirror one day and I realized, like, what have you given yourself? You know, like, wow. When's the last time that you listened to what you want to do? You know, when's the last time you told yourself yes and everybody else no? So with that moment, you know, I went through some transitions through my life. My 3-year relationship ended with work. I loved the purpose behind my work, but I just kind of was wearing so many hats that I mentally just couldn't keep up anymore. And then I also had this part of me that just always, I always, even as a little girl, said, I want to move to a big city one day. I want to move out of Louisiana. I just want to experience life in a city. So I had that on my heart too. And it's like I told you. And also another thing, big thing for me, is I was going through therapy too. And like a lot of layers and a lot of things were being unveiled for me to just really see. And like, it was just like, I could truly finally like hear my inner voice telling me like, this is what you need to do, you know? And I felt like it was also God just telling me like, hey, I got this door open for you. Like, you can jump out of it if you want, or you can continue steering the wheel on your own. You know, you can continue going on your path, but I got this door open for you. And I kind of felt like, what if he doesn't open that door again for me, you know? Right. Like, what if this is my only chance to like step through that door? And I'm sure with God, he gives us many chances, you know, but like something was telling me like, this is the time. Like, you can't deny yourself anymore. You have to tell yourself yes. You have to tell yourself yes. And when it comes to the transition here, I would say it hasn't been terrible. You know, I've definitely, one beautiful part about social media, it's a great way to connect with people. And if you use it right, it's a great way to attract and connect with the people that are in alignment with you, your goals, your values. So luckily I met a lot of great people through social media and through like a friend of a friend from people I went to college with who lived here. So that was great, but it's definitely a different culture. You know, like Louisiana culture is divine. And like, it's like no other place. Like, I still love it to death. Like, I miss it every single day, especially now. So it's definitely a different culture. I feel like back home in Louisiana, we're there for each other in a different way that people are there for each other in Atlanta. In Atlanta, people are here to support you as far as like entrepreneurship, like they're here to help you get up the career ladder. But when it comes to Louisiana, it's just something about, it feels more like family.
Right.
You know, it feels like it's just this lovingness that's in the air with the communities and the way that we interact with each other that I feel like has been like the difference with the culture shift. Here is more about business, you know?
Right.
And not saying either one is good or bad. It's just a difference, you know, just difference in culture.
Yeah. That's very interesting, because I think sometimes, I know for me, I'm always like, I want to move. And then part of me be like, nah, I just want more money. Like, to be that honest, part. It'll be like, I don't really want to move, you know, because I feel like so much work could be done here. But then at the same time, I have moments where I'm like, I really want to move. Like, we ain't got nothing popping here.
Right. So there's way more resources here, you know?
Yeah. And it feels like every time I see someone move, then their life starts to really pick up. And so that makes me think like, wow, like maybe it takes me moving in order for me to really get to the place that I want to be. Mm-hmm. And so that leads me to my next question. Do you feel like you've gained more support since you've moved, especially like community wise or just amongst Black women? Do you feel like Black women are supporting you more now that you've moved than when you were actually home?
I feel like for me personally, I've always had that level of support. I'm definitely a big believer of like what you put out is what you attract. So I feel like I've always attracted a very supportive community of friends and of sisters everywhere I've gone. I would say the biggest difference here is there's a more excess of opportunity. So it's more like, you know, when you hear somebody say everybody can eat. Mm-hmm. Atlanta's that type of place where literally everybody can eat. There's like an opportunity, there's a gig, there's a job for everyone here. Whereas in Louisiana, I think since it's a little more behind as far as, especially in the creative world, I would say less opportunities. But a beautiful part of Louisiana is you can create those opportunities for yourself. You can create something brand new that might not be happening in Louisiana at all. So you kind of have to start from scratch in Louisiana. But in Atlanta, like,
the template is already made for you. You just got to be ready and be able to fulfill the job itself. So I think it definitely here is like, it's the, there's way more opportunity as far as like jobs and creative jobs, but pros and, you know, but you just have to weigh your options for sure, for sure.
Yeah. And so I've been looking at you and following you for a while, and I did see that you got some really, really great opportunities. You was at Meg Park. Yes. You went to Tyler Perry Studios. Like, what are some tips that you can give people with basically securing new opportunities? Because I know a lot of people deal with anxiety. They deal with social anxiety. Mm-hmm. You know, people move away. People are afraid to go into new environments and settings. So what's some tips that you've taken personally to secure new opportunities for yourself?
That's a really good one. For me, it's just, it's networking and it's building relationships. I think people, even myself included, you're taken back by the word networking. But honestly, I kind of try to shift it as to like just having more conversations with people that are doing similar work as me. So a lot of the gigs that I have gotten here in Atlanta was because of someone that I knew that was a creative, somebody in PR, somebody in a certain job that was like, hey, I have an opportunity that might be interesting to you, you know, or hey, like, hey, we met a couple of months ago at this event. And I want to know, I have a friend who's throwing this type of event. Would you want to like, come on, let me connect you with that person. So for instance, for me, I'm going to give a real world explanation or example of something that I would do. So an example that I would give another photographer, for instance, would be, let's say I'm at a concert, but I'm attending just as a guest and I see another photographer there shooting. I'm going to make sure that I find a way to connect with that photographer, exchange emails, exchange Instagrams, just so that we know each other. Because who knows in the future if that photographer has a gig, they're double booked, and they might be like, hey, I remember meeting that photographer a while back at that concert. Let me hit them up to see if they might be available for this gig. So I definitely, definitely recommend that creatives, that they go out and communicate and just start meeting people that work the same job as you. Because like, think about it, you can only work one job at a time at a creative. So that person might have other opportunities for you. They might be able to link you with someone else that has an opportunity. So that's been my way of just getting opportunities, just meeting people and just being open and like friendly to people. You know, people like sometimes people who are aspiring photographers will like come up to me and talk to me. And I'm like, oh, hey, yeah, like, what's your Instagram? Let's connect. Like, just so they know, like, there are other people out there that, to help them. You know, like, somebody was always in your shoes. Right. So I think it's just really good to build those relationships for sure. And be kind and be genuine about building those. You know, don't go up to someone asking for something the first time you meet them, you know, like take some time to get to know them, ask them out for coffee, ask to do a call one day, you know. It's just like behind like the opportunities, behind the jobs, that's real people at the end of the day. So when you can put that connection to it being not just a job and not just being a company, but you can pinpoint the people that are behind those things, I think it really opens you up more to achieving those jobs and receiving them.
Yeah. And I think that's like one of, if I'm completely honest, that's one of the biggest like things that I deal with is like networking with people. Cause I'm the type of person, I will go into a place or an event and I'm looking around. Like, I'm just like, okay, if I genuinely have a conversation with somebody and we connect like that, I'm good. But I'm not really the person to just be talking to people. And I like for the longest time, I was like, what is wrong with me? But that's just not me. So I've been trying to find ways like in my own way that I'm like, okay, what could I do to network with people more? Because I like, I'm the type of person, like, I don't like just meaningless conversations, if that makes sense. Or just, we just talking just because we here together and like, hey, so what you do? That really annoys me. Like, short talk. So it's just like, I'd be like, okay, what can I do differently? Like, how can I find these authentic connections? And I know a lot of people deal with that, but some people, they're social butterflies.
Yeah, I wouldn't even call myself a social butterfly for real. Like, I feel you on the small talk. Like, you can tell when it's not genuine.
Yeah.
You know, you can truly tell when it's not genuine. I think for me, I kind of have, like,
pre-scripted questions in my mind that I like ask people sometimes, you know, like, where, for me here in Atlanta, a big one is like, where are you from? Because every time I say like, oh, I'm not from Atlanta, I'm from here, it just opens up a discussion. Oh, so like, how is Louisiana? Like, I've never been there before, etc. So like, just having like a few questions in your mind that could like sprout conversation. And also, a thing for me is like, if I understand the conversation is just kind of not flowing, things just aren't connecting, I'm gonna just keep it moving, you know?
Right.
You kind of can just tell, you get a vibe. You know, first impressions mean a lot. I won't say they mean everything. They do mean a lot. So you just kind of get a vibe for people early on. And I think also when you know somebody at an event, that also helps to, you know, go with a friend. Y'all can kind of tag team the networking. But it's definitely like something that you, I think it's like something you adapt and you grow and learn with. I think some people have that social butterfly thing, but for me, I'm introverted. So
yeah,
it's been something that a skill that I've been having to build.
Yeah. And that's something that I've told myself. It's like, just because I don't necessarily like to do it doesn't mean that I shouldn't build that skill, you know, yes. Because you can miss out on a lot of things if you just be like, well, that's not me. Like, I'm right. not doing it. And you right. can really miss opportunities and miss opportunities within yourself to grow. So like, that's something like, I'm like, once we get out of this, I mean, really, nobody got no excuse of why they shouldn't be trying to network and talk to people, because exactly. you've been in a house for too long. You should be trying to talk to everybody at this point.
Exactly.
Anybody you meet. But that's something that I'm really going to actively try to do. And I think a lot of people deal with that. And that's another thought that I have, is because they're afraid of rejection and they're afraid of being disappointed with the connections that they have. That's they good. Feel like they're gonna be used and things like that. So what is your perspective on ways that we can support each other better authentically?
I think we just need to listen, you know. I think, and not to listen always for a reaction, you know. I think we need to just listen to people more and understand where they're coming from. And I think also just like understanding people's intentions too, and that's something that I've had to notice too, because like, we all have very different personalities because we're all human. But when you can understand, like, somebody might have a total different personality from me. So I'm very like introverted. I'm very laid back. I'm very chill. And, you know, I might meet somebody that's super outgoing, loud, just out there. And sometimes I'll be like, oh my gosh, like, they are just so much. But then I like take it back a step and I'm like, Taylor, like, everybody's not like you, you know, like, everybody's not like laid back, introverted. So I really take a step back to really analyze people's intentions. Like, okay, they're a little more extroverted than me. Okay, they're very like outgoing, but like, do they mean well? You know, like, it's, do they mean well behind their actions? So I think when it comes to like getting to know people, we have to understand that it's okay to have to meet people that are different from you and not look at that as a threat.
Yeah,
you know, and not look at that as like, oh, we'll never get along because we're so different, because in reality we need people around us that have different personalities, different strengths, different weaknesses, so that we can all like kind of collaborate together. Because at the end of the day, you know, like, we're all here for specific purposes, and we're better and we're stronger together than we are apart.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a fact. That is a fact. And I think too, like, we can get so comfortable with doing things the same way. Facts. And we can get to a place where we get stuck, and when we get just used to it, we get used to hanging around the same people. We get used to hanging around people that don't challenge our thought processes or don't push us for better. So that's like a really, really, really good point, because we have to really expand ourselves and stretch ourselves in that area.
Right.
And another question that I have, and it's the last question, is, do you ever deal with anxiety? Since we are talking about like networking and things like that, new opportunities, do you ever deal with anxiety, or do you ever feel like you ever have a creative block or things like that that leads you into anxiety or depression? And if so, What do you do to keep your peace, keep your feet planted?
That is so good. Because that's something that I've been kind of unraveling a lot here in quarantine, while I've had a lot of time to reflect. For me, what I've realized about anxiety is that it exists in people's lives very differently. Like it comes through and it persists in very different ways. And I've finally been able to like figure out where anxiety hits me the most. And for me, it's doubt. Wow. So anxiety always creeps up, knocks at my door in the form of doubt and imposter syndrome. So for me, anxiety can be very paralyzing. I can be, you know, very scared to make a decision. You know, I can be very scared of what if this happens or what if this doesn't happen or like, you know, what if it's not good enough? What if it's not perfect? So it becomes all of these doubts, and these doubts turn into me not doing anything at all. Stay small. It makes me shrink. You know, it makes me not put out all the hundreds of ideas that I write down. And it's crippling at the end of the day, you know, it's crippling. But what I've realized is that my doubt is a pattern. You know, when you were going deep down into like subconsciousness and like really thinking about like the way your mind has been basically like with your subconscious, you basically learn certain patterns from the moment you were born to like about 7 years old till they become imprinted. And that's just all you know, so you can continue to like reform these patterns, and you continue to like anytime this happens or this appears in your life, doubt forms. So what I've had to do is basically anytime I have doubt, I have to like really sit with myself and ask myself some questions like, okay, you know, what's holding you back from doing this? And most times I'll be like, well, what if it's not good enough? And then I'll like answer that question again. But like, what if it is good enough? What if it's great? What if that's incredible? What if that idea is like going to help so many people just because you put it out? So I just like really challenge my doubt a lot. You know, at this point, the first thought that comes to my mind about, oh, I can't do this. Oh, I'm not good enough. I challenge myself now. I'm like, no, I don't think that's right. So it's really about shifting your thoughts. I said this a few weeks ago on my Instagram story. When you change your thoughts, you change your reality. So by me working on changing my doubts into, what's the word for it? Changing the words doubts into like faith.
Yeah.
I'm definitely able to like come out of that. And it's definitely tough, you know, because like I really have to like sit there and work through this. Like it's like me sitting there having like a conversation with myself. It's not something I can just like 1 second just snap on and off. I think over time it'll get quicker, but like I definitely have to take some moments to like breathe, meditate. For me lately, it's been like writing. So like I'll write everything down, like all the doubts down, and like I'll kind of reread that, and I'll just like kind of like write letters to myself like, what if this was good? What if this turns out to be great? You know, what's holding you back? Why not do it? Why not go after it? So journaling has helped for me to be able to like actually see the thought on paper and to realize how damn crazy the thoughts look.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, why is my brain telling me all these lies? And that's the thing, like thoughts are just thoughts. And when you learn to think about your thoughts and to analyze them and to really figure out what is true for yourself, it really is a changing point, I feel like, especially for anxiety. Because anxiety, like you said, it can just be so crippling. It can be the one thing that stops you from getting to where you need to get, and it can really get so dark. So we really have to be very, very mindful about like looking at our thoughts and asking myself, like, I know I've thought this for the past 5 years, but is this true? Do I want this to still be my reality? And if that's a no, then basically you just got to turn that around and be like, you know, I don't want this to be my reality anymore. And you just have to make that choice for yourself.
Yeah. And I love that you basically were talking about like being intentional and not just letting it be something that you're like, oh yeah, I'm feeling this, but I'm not going to do anything to be proactive to overcome it.
Right.
Because I know a lot of people get paralyzed. Even myself, I'll have some great ideas and I'm like, that's too much work. I don't think I can do it. Like, you know, I don't think that I could be the person to do that. And that's really good that you said, like, you started to write things down. You know, you really started to think about those thoughts. And so that's really like, I'm going to start doing it.
Yes.
Because I'm really not a writer. I'm more of a talker. But I'm like, maybe I could talk it out with myself.
Exactly.
Like, maybe I could record it where I'm actually getting it out and hearing it. And like you said, hearing how damn stupid it sounds when I play it back. Like, girl, you can do that. You know?
Exactly.
And I said that was my last question, but I got one more.
Okay, let's get it.
How did you really find your pace? Because I know that's something that a lot of people deal with, like, especially like on social media, or just like connecting with people. How did you find like your pace, your groove, where you don't feel like, you know, you have to compete with anybody else?
Mm-hmm. I think it goes back to me just like kind of looking deep down at who I am and what I need, and like listening to like my body, listening to my mind, as into like, okay, do you want this because you saw everybody else want to? Like, what does that do for you? So I think it's really about aligning with your purpose. And also now what I'm really, really working on doing is just like checking in with your values. Like, I feel like values change over time. Like, my values as a 21-year-old woman are very different now as a 26-year-old woman. So we have to like sit with our personal values. And like, when you actually look at your values and then you check your actions, you're like, well, if I said, you know, I want to like save money and I really want to save and invest in money so I could buy like a house in a few years, then why am I spending this amount of money on like something like this that is just like very temporary, you know? So when you're able to like check those values, I feel like it just helps you like pace out your life in just such a better way, because you're clear and you're in, it goes back to intention. You're intentional about every single thing that you do. And I know for me, especially, what I've learned is like, I really, really enjoy slow living. So like, I like to just be in control of my days. I like to really take it easy. So as far as like work, you know, and doing shoots, like, I guess pre-corona, I was really starting to realize that I personally don't like doing 25 plus shoots per day. You know, I don't want to be working and shooting like back to back shoots. I rather like do larger, maybe shoots that are like more intentional and more impactful, maybe like 10 of those per month than 25, because that's just my pace. You know, I just realized that like I enjoy like time outside of work too, and I have the ability to create that. So I think you really have to figure out, what is your values? What are your values? And like, how do you make the choices that reflect that in real life through your actions?
Yeah, that is so good. Like, you really gave some gems, okay?
Thank you so much. I'm happy to share.
And I'm so happy that you joined me. Thank you so much for agreeing to come on and talk like to us, talking it real to us.
Yes.
And let the people know where they can follow you at. I'm going to put it in the description as well, but I want you to let them know where they can follow you at.
Yes, definitely follow me, everyone. So my Instagram handle is Golden Time Tay. So golden like the sun, time like a clock, and Tay, T-A-Y. And then my website, where you can see my portfolio, is taylorshunter.com. And you can also reach out to me via email at info@taylorshunter.com.
Yes. So thank you guys for taking time to listen to this podcast. Don't forget to share it. Leave a review. Send it to your mama, your cousin, your auntie. Send it to all those people. But thank you so much for really taking the time out to support and to listen to it. Until next time, peace.
Peace.